Hello, beloved stigmatines and members of the Stigmatine Lady and anyone who might pass by and hear this message. This is part two of a series of lectures on the stigmatine charism. The first one, as we just concluded, is that on the idea of serving as an administrator of the goods of God in our community holdings. And this second topic is an attempt to look into the very, very challenging 12th General Chapter of 1890. Most of the interpretations of how that chapter went seem to come from a Nicholas Tomasi, who was the capitular at that chapter, but who seems to have had some friction with Father Tabarelli, who was very strongly pushing the schools. Anyway, this reflection is based, by and large, on the chapter minutes. And let us begin now with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Pray for us, O holy spouses, Mary and Joseph, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. St. Gaspar Bertone, please pray for us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I'll offer here a kind of a background of the minutes of the 12th General Chapter from the earlier chapters during the year 1966 under the direction of our wonderful late confrere, Father Luigi Benaglia, I translated into English the chapter minutes and documents of General Chapter 1 to 18. Chapter 12 was in 1890 and was a very, very difficult chapter. And I'd like to look into that because it has been much in discussion in recent years. Well, first of all, the question was on the word missions. We've always had the struggle between the Jesuit understanding of apostolic mission in its broader sense, and the more limited and restricted idea of parish mission. The problem of the 12th General Chapter was not parish mission, it was foreign mission. And I'd like to explain this as we go on. So the first part will be letters of crisis for the foreign missions. And there were three men of great quality involved here. One was Father Francis Sogaro, who died on June 2, 1912. Then there was Father Joseph Sembiante, who died on June 24, 1914, who incidentally brought our future Father General, John Baptist Tomasi, with him from Bassano to join the Stigmatines. Father John Baptist Tomasi was a Superior General elected in 1911. And it's with his election that I end my translations of the minutes. Then there was a Father Dominic Vicentini. First of all, Father Sogaro very clearly made clear that he wanted to be a foreign missionary to Africa. Contemporary with these goings on, there was a Father Daniel Comboni, who now, of course, is a canonized saint, and he and his early missionaries opened up a wonderful church in Africa. So much of Verona was abuzz with this idea, so a lot of the younger priests wanted to go. Father Sogaro was one of them, and he left the congregation some years before the 12th General Chapter, and he ended up an archbishop, successor to St. Daniel Comboni, and his final job was to be preside or president or head of Academy of Noble Ecclesiastics. Today, we would call these the diplomatic corps of the guard of the Vatican. And he succeeded the late Mary Del Val, who was the head of this academy and then was appointed by Pius X as Cardinal Secretary of State at the age of 38. And Father Sogaro succeeded Cardinal Mary Del Val as the head of this academy. Sembiante then became Superior General of the Combonis and delegate and so on to their life. Thirdly, Father Dominic Vicentini. He also had difficulties. He had been in Africa a few years as a stigmatine on a kind of a lend-lease and fell in love with the mission. So he was hoping that the chapter of 1890 might open foreign missions. But we didn't. And that really saddened him immensely. And sadly, Father John Baptist Lenotti, our Father General, 1871 to 1874, had ready a mission band, ready to go to Denmark, to the United States, and other countries. He was preparing 5 young priests to do this, and he died very suddenly, as we know, as our shortest career Father General. He was only 4 years. At any rate, we did not go to the foreign missions then for 30 more years. In 1905, as we all know, the Stigmatines came to America, and in 1910, the Stigmatines moved to Brazil, 1920 to China, and so on and so on. Anyway, that's the background. The 12th general chapter then was not only about parish missions. There was a real urgency among these very, very capable men to go to the foreign missions, particularly in Africa. So that would be the first part, to look at the letters of these men taken from the minutes of the general chapters prior to their leaving the congregation. Part two will be a discussion more in minute or more careful between the 12th general chapter of September 14th till October 3rd of 1890 and the famous 5th general chapter of February 25th to 27th in 1874. Unfortunately, the entire fascicle of these first 3 general chapters is missing. I translated these in 1966, and after that the rule was we could never take them from the general archives without the permission of the general. As a general counselor from 1970 to 76, I often consulted them. I even made a Xerox copy of a very famous proposal submitted to the 5th general chapter, which was voted on unanimously. It's the same wording as was voted unanimously in 1890. So this is a kind of, I hope, an interesting study. So that'll be part two, the quodcumque, any ministry of the Word of God whatsoever. Then, as would be best, we will really try to take a look at the original constitutions of St. Gaspar to see what he said about this matter of the youth, their spiritual direction, their religious instruction, their scholastic teaching, and all of these things. And then we'll look at the early general chapter's repeated treatment of schools over and over and over again. If the vote, it's a unanimous or near unanimous vote, to see the possibility of opening schools. And as a summation, I mention a professor, Ruggiero Simonato, who very recently has written a most marvelous study of St. Gaspar Bertone. I am certainly nowhere in his class, but I'll try to offer a little critique of 2 of his footnotes. He says, the difference between Father Morani, whom many have fallen, and Father Lenotti cannot be resolved by historical documents. Father Morani said, our broad apostolic mission must be understood primarily as parish missions, and then all the rest. Father Lenotti had much more the Ignatian idea, and I think Father Lenotti had Father Gaspar himself as his novice mass. For what it's worth, this is what this document is about. So we'll start here with part one, the 12th general chapter of 1890. And this is a study on quocumque, to go anywhere in the diocese of the world to spread the word of God. And the subtitle I have put here is the anguished search for that perfect work of priests, which Father Gaspar mentions in his 8th constitution, CF number 8. And the letters of foreign missionary crisis is what I'll present in this first part. So, a brief introduction. Each of the saints, as we know, is gifted with a special spiritual gift, like a spiritual DNA. which St. Paul refers to as charisms in 1 Corinthians 14. St. Gaspar Bertoni lived as a model of holy abandonment, referred to in Constitution 185 as considered to be a special grace of this vocation, which is more powerful than any dangers and difficulties. The incarnate Word of God was sent by the Father in the Holy Spirit in preparation for the coming of the Holy Spirit, and each one is offered the freedom to respond, as in some way Jesus Christ is united to every single human being. That's Gaudium et Spes 22. For a believer, the usual response is through the theological virtues, or through some other Christ-like response to God, to Jesus' Father. For St. Thomas, his oblation seems to have been an oblation of faith. He speaks of the oblation obsequium of the intellect and the will. St. Francis de Sales seems to have, his idea of abandonment seems to have been total charity in his treatise of divine love. For St. Francis of Assisi, it seemed to be Christ's poverty, the Christmas crib, and the poor Lord and the stigmata. For St. Ignatius of Loyola, a soldier, followed the flag of his captain, Jesus Christ, in loving obedience. So these are different interpretations of obsequium, or this spirituality of holy abandonment. It's not inertia. It's a constant search for what is it that God wants us to do. So Father Bertoni, it seems to me, came to understand, and after 24 years or so, 25 years of living this life in community, he began to codify his lifelong quest for the Lord in all things as a holy abandonment to God's will. So, in his original constitutions, this is the special grace of this vocation. In this, he set forth his dynamic plan of an ongoing progress in the quest and in the living of the perfect work of priests, to which St. Gaspar refers in number 7 of his rule. This means to imitate the Eucharist, which is offered on the altar, being celebrated, by imitating what is being consecrated, distributed, handled, and meant to be also lived. It could very well be, as with Father St. Gaspar's most recent biographer, St. Gaspar responded with a holy hope in the healing power of the stigmata. In lifelong atrocious suffering, St. Gaspar saw life as an abandonment to God through an oblation of heroic hope in God's mercy. This seems to be the application he made in his life of Romans 12:1, make of your bodies, your lives, an oblation to the mercy of God. This is, in actual fact, an existential living of the petition of the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done. It's the daily living of the Eucharist as offertory, consecration, and Holy Communion. And fourthly, this lifelong quest for God in St. Gaspar's constitution seems to follow a pattern summarized in the words qui cumque, quod cumque, quo cumque. What does this mean? First of all, we have a community abandonment. Congregationally, there is meant to be lived a holy abandonment of every single member of the community. Each and every stigmatine would be quicumque, each and every one. It's to be offered and consecrated to live in the service of the church through her bishops. This would even include us old people, those who are no longer active in the active ministry. That life is the oblation we're giving back to the mercy of God. Secondly, apostolically, in the community, each follower of Jesus Christ in accepting this charism in a community that is enthusiastically dedicated to any ministry of the Word of God whatsoever, that's quodcumque. This would mean a community-wide commitment to the ministries of the Church in response to the bishop's changing needs. These ministries, to which the founder refers it with different adjectives, appropriata, adapted to the times, graviora, the major needs of the Church, varia et propria, they're varied and proper, ardua et difficilia. So it seems to be a plurality of services that we are invited to offer. So we have quicumbe, meaning everyone, quadcunque, any ministry of the Word of God, a phrase, though, taken from the formula of St. Ignatius of Loyola. Then geographically, a living willingness to be sent anywhere in the diocese or the world, and that's called quocumque. So it's quicumque, each and every one, quadcumque, any ministry of the Word of God, whatever, quocumque, anywhere in the diocese of the world. This wonderful plan has as its holy patrons Mary and Joseph, precisely in the mystery of their holy espousals. In an earlier reflection, we have tried to develop a little bit the Trinitarian charism of St. Gaspar Bertone. As you know, he visited a chapel of the convent of St. Joseph in Verona, and there was a painting of the Most Blessed Trinity, and Father Gaspar notes in his diary, there the Father was handing Jesus over totally for whatever would be needed in the ministry. And this total self-giving, and then Christ's total abandonment to the will of God in all his work. So in the 200 years or more of Stigmatine history, various interpretations have been offered for this changing scope, changing according to the times and according to the places. There are certain places where presently it would be very, very difficult to preach a parish mission. As far as schools go, at the present situation of the Stigmatine community, be very hard. Very difficult to try to open one. But from the commitment to the apostolic mission, this asks of us all for the support of each and every one until the end of life of each and every one, at least through prayer and sacrifice, which when one can no longer physically respond. I think in my own case at 87, I spent a year or more in bed. Well, it was possible then to have conversations, to communicate through email and the apostolate of the pen. So the ministry never ends, no matter what we're doing. In fact, the act of dying is the ultimate obsequium. Our Stigmatine history shows us the real challenges there is in trying to discern what is the ministry the Church needs from the many palliatives St. Gaspar suggests. Teaching, preaching, schools, foreign missions, parish missions, and on and on and on, according to the changing needs of the times and the places. St. Gaspar's rule suggests in Numbers 185 and 186 these missions to be rendered the Church at her invitation. During the particulars of this broad plan, or deciding the particulars of this broad plan, this has been a real challenge to us. The winds of change were much in the air with the emigration of vast numbers of the Italian population during the second half of the 19th century. And with the coming of the new century, the 20th, which was endowed with such unfolded hope that the 20th century would resolve all the problems. Very interesting here to compare Pope Leo's document, Americanism, Testem Benevolentiae, to the Archbishop of Baltimore, written January 22, 1899, and Theodore Roosevelt's greetings of the of those who elected him on January 1, 1900, with his broadened enthusiastic belief of what would happen in the 20th century. We invented the atomic bomb. We discovered gulags, prison camps, and drugs, and violence that's almost out of control. So the 20th century was one with something of an unfounded hope. Well, at that time, the 12th General Chapter of the Stigmatines from September 24th until October 3rd, 1890, was held. The challenge came for the small community as to whether or not it should commit the cream of its crop to the one apostolate of the schools, or to be open to the broader mission included in any ministry of the Word of God whatsoever. We will consider this, and we did consider all of this in a particular study. Anyway, the obsequium and all of on the original rule. Anyway, there are a few problems here. One is to say that the cream of the crop was too much absorbed in the one ministry, and that would be more or less of a disciplinary or a judicial matter to decide here and there to lessen up a little bit. But it did mean to throw the schools out altogether. And another thing would be to say that the schools are really not any primary part of our community, and this document thinks they were. So the response, should we stay in the schools, do parish missions, or go on foreign missions? These were all legitimate questions, but they certainly did not intend to change the founder's rule. They were trying to adapt it to that scenario. In that period of emigration from Italy, that's how America was discovered for the Stigmatine world, because so many Italians were coming here and the priests did not go with them. So a number of religious orders came here from Italy primarily to assist with what was called the Italian problem. The problem wasn't the Italians, it was us adapting to them. And this has been, as I'll show as we go on here. Well, first of all, let me present the three major personalities here. Father Francis Sogaro, who died as Archbishop at the service of the Vatican. Father Joseph Sembiante, who became Superior General of the Comboni Fathers. Father Dominic Vicentini, who became Father General of the Scalabrini, and who, incidentally, as Father General, gave to the Stigmatines one of his own missions in a place called Tibagi. And in our general chapter, our general archives as Secretary General, I saw that famous telegram that came from Brazil, Tibagi e nostro. When the wonderful Bishop Braga, was his name, a young bishop of Brazil, handed over this very difficult and challenging mission to the Stigmatine. So Father Sogaro, I have here a letter that he wrote on March 31st, 1874. Now this is 16 years before 1890, before the 12th General Chapter. And he wrote this to the very Reverend John Baptist Lenardi, most worthy superior at the Stigmatine. And he was, really, Father Lenardi. He really had a missionary heart. He really hoped that the Stigmatines would take this wonderful charism born in Verona, Italy, and spread it throughout the world. But chapter after chapter after chapter, it was put off. It was like we so often do, kick the can down the road. It was supremely necessary. It would have been very helpful. But there were always reasons not to change the status quo, but let's keep what we're doing. Well, this is Father Sogaro, very gifted, very spiritual, very, very missionary-minded man. Already for a number of years, Father Sogaro wrote to the general, as I have manifested so often to your own reverend paternity, that I have been struggling with great perplexity on the matter of my vocation. I have been repeatedly exhorted to pray, to constancy, out of love for my soul. I have much affection for my confreres. Repeatedly I have complied with all of this. At long last, however, I had to convince myself that I would have to do violence to myself until dying from it. But as far as finding happiness in this matter of life, it was always for naught. So it is, therefore, my most venerated Father, I have come to this resolution of asking you, your very reverend paternity, and at the same time, the Reverend Fathers who make up this congregation, to dispense me from the obligations that I took on in this congregation. While I take this step, I ask all the Reverend Fathers and Brothers not to be scandalized by me, not to attribute this my most serious decision to blindness, but to a vivid need of my poor soul. I hope in the mercy of God that, supported by His grace, I will never forget this most esteemed institution of the Stigmatine that I have always loved so much, nor will I ever forget the great debts of gratitude that bind me to the venerable congregation of the Apostolic Missionaries. Imploring your paternal blessing with most profound esteem and gratitude that I profess from the house of the Derelitti in Verona, your most obliging, humble, and respectful servant, Father Francis Sogaro. It really is a letter of much pain, much, much sorrow. Well, we find another letter to the very Reverend Father John Baptist Tomasi, Superior General of the Apostolic Missionaries for the Assistance of Bishops. This particular note of Father Lenardi doesn't have a date, but it was found among the documents of this chapter. And what he's doing is presenting the letter he wrote to Father Lenardi. Very Reverend Father in Christ, or now he's writing to the assembled chapter. Enclosed herein is my request to the fathers of the general congregation. I did not feel that I could attend the general chapter, and so I asked you to hold me excused. First of all, because I really am very busy, and then because since I am so sensitive, to come would be a real bother to me, and not just a little. I kiss your sacred hand, devoted and your most humble and devoted, respectful servant and son of you, with profound veneration, Reverend Father Francis Sogaro. He really was a powerful letter writer. He really made his heart and soul place it in on a thing. Then, evidently, they must have asked him a few questions, and they asked him for another letter, which he wrote August 5th, 1874, just before the chapter ended. And this, then, is addressed to the very Reverend Fathers, Apostolic Missionaries, assembled in a general chapter. And he begins this letter. We perhaps won't get into it until the next reflection. But Father Sogaro was a real quality person. He was much in love with the church, with the Stigmatines. And when he read about the quocunque on entering, he really thought that he had a vocation. Even as a young novice, he tried, and earlier than that, and he was forbidden even to get spiritual direction in order to help him. He wanted to go to a venerable old Jesuit, whom the founder had used many times to send particular cases to him, Father Viscardini. But I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. We'll begin this third letter of Father Sogaro to the general chapter, written on the eve of the chapter, August 5th, 1874. God bless you all and thank you for listening. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Pray for us, the Holy Spouses, Mary and Joseph, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. St. Gaspar Toni, please pray for us all. God bless you and thank you for listening.